Well, good evening, Potter's Four Square Church. Hope all is well. This is our Wednesday, normal Wednesday service, but we are in the midst of the Passion Week. And so we have covered the beginning of the Passion Week last Sunday when we did the Palm Sunday service. We did that in podcast form. And this, today, Wednesday, we're doing the Last Supper with all the events that happened during that time period. And this Friday, we'll be doing a communion service focusing on the crucifixion of our Lord. And Sunday will be Resurrection Sunday. All those services will be in a podcast form on the website, so please take a look at that. In addition to the schedule, I wanted to remind those of you who will be listening on Friday to make sure that you have your communion supplies ready, the bread and the cup, and your family. It'd be good for you, I think, if you were to listen as a family or how many people are in your home and then partake together. I'm sure someone can do that. And if you just follow along at the end of the sermon, there'll be an opportunity for us all to partake. So hopefully you'll be doing that. I hope all is going well with your time of staying at home with your family. I'm sure that everybody is, you know, we're kind of all in the same boat. And I think that there are two kinds of people. There's people that are pretty much okay with it. And then there's people like me who are not okay with it. I love to be out, love to be around people, love to be doing my normal routine, and to have that stopped is a big deal. But God is faithful, and we're making the best of a bad situation. And I'd like to think that we are through at least the halfway point of this. Don't really know for sure, but I consider what I hear on the news, and maybe that's you know, wishful thinking, but I'm hopefully that's where we are. I sent out an email today to the church, just reminding the church of the events of the Passion Week, and with an additional encouragement this Thursday, tomorrow. I would encourage all of you to pray and fast for our president, for our governor here in the state of California, and for our mayor in the whatever city you live in, and anybody that's been placed by God into official position of leadership within the federal government, the state government, or local government. Just be interceding. I think these people need wisdom. They need to be able to discern the voice of God versus the voice of some people that are giving them counsel that might not be the best counsel. So I would invite you to do that. Again, you don't need to fast the whole day, maybe just a meal, but if you want to fast the whole day, that would be great. I know a lot of people in our church are going to join in as well. So without further ado, we want to start off this teaching on the Last Supper. The Last Supper is what we call the last meal that Jesus had with his disciples before his betrayal. And even more than the Last Supper, it's something more deeper than that. It's covered in all the synoptic Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke. And there's more to it than just Jesus's last meal. It was the Passover meal as well, the Old Testament high holiday that celebrated when death came as the last plague into Egypt, that it passed over those that had put the blood on the doorpost. And so that is right in the middle of another holiday, which is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We'll be talking a little bit more about that. But it's definitely one of the more important moments that we see in the New Testament. And it's this opportunity that Jesus had to share with mankind that it would be his blood on the cross that would pay the debt for the sin of men. And that's in Luke 22, verses 19 through 20. Jesus also used the Last Supper to communicate a couple of things. Number one, to give the Passover a new meaning or an extended meaning. Number two, to institute the new covenant. Number three, to establish an ordinance of the church. That's something we do still today. Number four, to foretell Peter's denial of him. And number five, Judas Iscariot's betrayal. And if you read the Gospel of John, it's the time that he did the foot washing as well, sometime prior to that. So our text this evening is in Matthew chapter 26, verses 17 through 30. It's a little long, but if you can open up your Bible, I'll be reading out of the NIV version and follow along. Verse 17, on the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" And he replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and they were sitting and eating. And he said, 'Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me.' And they were very sad and began to say to one another, 'Surely you don't mean me, Lord.' Jesus replied, 'The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me, and the Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born.' Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, 'Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi.' And Jesus answered, 'You have said so.'" Verse 26, while they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and he went, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." When he took the cup, he had given thanks, and he gave them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the many for forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Father, we pray you add blessing to your word this evening as we study in Jesus' name. So, some observations. First of all, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is not to be confused with Passover. It's not the Passover at all. It's the it's associated with that, but it's the week that celebrates this unleavened bread. And that's, remember, they had to leave in haste when they left the when they left Egypt. They left immediately, and so the bread didn't have time to rise, and it was thin, much like the communion crackers that we use nowadays are more like a cracker form. And that's basically, they would eat this bread for the week, and that was in remembrance of what God had done in celebrating that. But it's the feast is the time that immediately followed the Passover. So they would have had Passover, and then they would have had the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So the Last Supper, what it did was it brought out the Old Testament observance of the Passover feast and really explained its fulfillment. Now, the Passover was obviously in a holy event that many people in the scriptures have commented about, Old Testament and New Testament, and the time that really marked God doing this great work and keeping the Israelites out of this plague. It was significant because the very act of Passover that God did brought life or sustained life to people. We read that in Exodus chapter 11, verse 1, and chapter 13 through verse 16. So during the Last Supper with his apostles, Jesus took the two symbols associated with the Passover, and he sort of repurposed them, repurposed their meaning. And so in the Passover, you had the blood that was put on the doorpost, and then you had the Feast of Unleavened Bread, meaning they had to leave in haste, so that you had the blood and the bread. And it's the same in the Last Supper, that Jesus used the same two elements. He said, after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." In the same way, and after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the covenant of my blood, which is poured out for you." That is from Luke. And he took the bread, so we have the cup and the bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, a couple of things to point out here that I think is significant is Jesus, and if you know anything about the way that Jesus taught, he was very consistent in what he used in his imagery. He was very consistent in sort of the principles of the kingdom of God. In other words, he brought about the principles of the kingdom of God in many different ways, but they were all consistent, right? And so the consistent message of who he was is used really in this particular time when he brings out the bread and the cup. So Jesus, his words during the Last Supper about the unleavened bread and the cup, they sort of echo what he did with the feeding of the 5,000. And let me read from John chapter 6, verse 35. It says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats the bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up in the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink." John chapter 6, verse 35, verses 51, 54, and 55. So salvation, what Jesus was saying, was going to come through the sacrificial death of his physical body on that cross. And this consistent message that Jesus, throughout the scripture, when he fed the 5,000, when he fed the 3,000, he used the bread and the fishes, but it was something more significant when he goes to celebrate the Passover supper. It points back thousands of years ago to what God did in saving the Israelites. And so this was a very significant thing, and it's a consistent message of who he was. And additionally, it's a consistent message of who we should be. Because also during the Last Supper, Jesus taught the principles of servanthood and forgiveness. And he washed the disciples' feet. He said, "The greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules should be like the one," "should be like the one who," "should be like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? It is not the one who is at the table, but I am among you as one who serves." So in saying this, and in doing what the Gospel of John records, Jesus did this great service by teaching his disciples the most important elements of the kingdom. When we normally do communion, I reference this regularly, that Jesus could have said a lot of things that night, and he did say a lot of things that night, but one of the most significant things he said about how we should be is that we should follow this example of being a servant. And the picture that he used for that was washing the disciples' feet, but only John records that whole event. And so it's kind of confusing because a lot of people don't know where it fits in, because John's gospel does not have a timeline like the other gospels, the synoptic gospels do. So I just want to make reference to that, you know, guys, when we talk about the communion service, and we talk about the Last Supper, and we celebrate that like we are mandated to do in Scripture, one of the things that we need to do first is, the Bible says, is to check our heart to see where we are with him. In other words, we ought not to eat of the communion bread and the communion cup with an unworthy heart. If we need forgiveness at that particular time, then we ought to ask, because God is willing and able to forgive us, but we shouldn't take communion for the sake of just consuming something without understanding the real meaning behind it. In fact, it was a problem in the New Testament when, you know, part of the epistles deal with that, especially in Corinthians, when it had to be corrected because people were just going and eating and getting drunk, and it was a meal and not a memory. And I think that your communion time, at church, obviously, no one would ever say that that's a meal. I don't think we get that confused at all. But even when we do eat at church, it's not the meal, it's the memory. We are there because of what Jesus Christ has done, whether we're having a potluck or communion service or whatever. It's never about the food. It's always about the memory of who Jesus is and what he has done, and that's what the communion time is really for. And it's, you know, this Friday when we have, when we talk about the crucifixion of our Lord and we have communion, I will again reference this particular text. So interpreting this, the Last Supper today is remembered during the Lord's Supper and this communion that we are to have according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're to do it often. It is really the death of Jesus. This is the representation of the focus of what we should be on when we think about the Last Supper. It's the death. It's remembering what he did. It's remembering how he died and why he died. And it's a copy. John notes that his death resembles the Passover, and that the Passover lamb was not to have a bone broken in the animal. And it's the same when Jesus died. We were watching the Passion of the Christ the other night, and if you noticed, in the Passion of the Christ, it the movie portrays that they go to break Jesus's legs, but the Roman soldier says, no, don't do that. They poke his side and water and blood come out. And the reason why they don't break his legs is not because it wasn't a good idea. It's because it was a prophetic word that just like the Passover lamb, his bones were not to be broken as well. Now the soldiers on either side of him, their legs were broken. So the lamb is the focus here. And Paul said, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the lamb. So Jesus was the Passover lamb, and that lamb was to be selected without blemish, right, and offered to the Lord without broken bone, and it was to be sacrificed. It was to be cut. Now, the only difference here is the sacrificial lamb was prepared for the Passover as a meal, but Jesus was more than just prepared. He was brutalized in every way. He was beaten. He was spat upon. He had the thorns, the crown on his head. His back was whipped several times, not just when he was being flogged, but even when he was walking down the road with his cross. And it's something that we need to never forget, right? That these things that Jesus suffered, he did for us. So he was the lamb, and Jesus was the fulfillment of the law, including the feast of the Lord. And that's what really what Matthew is saying, is that, you know, when Jesus came to fulfill the law, he came to fulfill the feasts as well. And the feast of unleavened bread and the feast of Passover, he would change that forever. And he did that by what he said and what he did on that Passover evening, on that the Last Supper evening. So the Passover meal was a family celebration. However, at the Last Supper, the apostles were there alone with Jesus. In other words, they didn't have all their families with them. It was Jesus and the apostles and maybe some other people. It wasn't necessarily family-oriented. And the reason why I point that out is because what we need to be reminded of is it's not family-oriented, it's church-oriented. Now, the church is a family, and there are families in church, but this is you know, this focus is on the church as a whole and not necessarily our particular family, right? And so we need to remember that, you know, the Passover back in the Jewish tradition was all about family, but this is all about the church. And the dual meaning that we see here with the Last Supper had, you know, implications for the Jews. It was designed for the church as well. And today, the Lord's table is one of two ordinances we observe. We observe the Lord's Supper and we observe baptism from the teachings that we get out of the New Testament. So I want to spend a little bit of time giving you some application tonight and really taking some time to look at how you approach the understanding of the Last Supper. And one of the things I think that, you know, we kind of get confused is, you know, the communion table, it should and it does remind us of the old while we celebrate the new, right? You can't look at the communion table and say, yes, this is just about Jesus dying on the cross, the bread and the cup. It has more meaning. It has more significance than just that, because it was a fulfillment of the law. It was fulfillment. It pointed back to the time that God was faithful to save his people. Once again, God would be faithful to save his people through the sacrifice that was made. And it was the last sacrifice, the propitiation for our sins. It would never be required again. When Jesus died on the cross, it was the last sacrifice for us. It was all that we needed to be and spend eternity in heaven. And that's the focus that we should have, guys. When we think about communion, we go back, because Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 31, 33, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. That was a prophetic word about us, about how God would deal with us. And Jesus made this direct reference in the Last Supper as the new covenant. He says, this is the cup of the new covenant of my blood. It's a new covenant, but it's still connected with the old covenant. It's a fulfillment of the old covenant. This cup is my blood, he said in Luke. It's this new dispensation that was on the horizon. It was a new way that God had grace on his people. This new covenant applied to more than just Israel. It was everyone who would have faith in Jesus Christ. And I think that's what we celebrate when we celebrate the bread and the cup. It's not just for that moment. It's a celebration of God's plan over thousands and thousands of years of all the unfaithfulness that man has offered up, that God still had a plan. He still had a way of redeeming people, whether it was through the lamb that was sacrificed for the Passover or our Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The second thing is this communion table, it celebrates the plan for mankind, the new direction that God would have for mankind. And, you know, on Wednesdays, we're studying the Sermon on the Mount and through the book of Matthew. And it's just a beautiful thing to see how the Old Testament law was fulfilled by all the things that were written in the New Testament. The Last Supper revealed this turning point in God's plan for mankind and the world. And, in comparing the crucifixion of Jesus to the Feast of Passover, we can really see God's redemptive nature in all of this, how God wanted to save mankind, even back with the Lamb and even back with our Passover Lamb in Jesus Christ, that God, his very nature is to save that which was lost. And that's what Jesus said. I've come to save that which was lost. I've come to find those that are lost. I've come to give you life and give you life more abundantly. When we celebrate, when we take that communion, the bread and the cup, and we remember what Jesus did, it takes us all the way back to thousands and thousands of years of God's faithfulness. Now, as symbolized by the original Passover, the sacrifice of the Old Testament, Christ's death on the cross atones for the sins of his people. We know that. But his blood rescues us from death, and his blood rescues us from slavery. So it's not just necessarily about the fact that we're going to get to heaven, but God has redeemed us from, the death that we walk on this earth, that being separated from him. Anything that separates us from God is death, right? And in replacement of that, God has given us spiritual life. But it didn't just go to spiritual life. He said, I want you to be free. I don't want you to be in bondage anymore. And that's the blood of Jesus that we can cry out for, that we can pray that blood of Jesus over certain things in our life or certain circumstances. And that blood equates to victory. So if you look at today and you look at the Lord's Supper, it's a time when believers, when we reflect upon the perfect sacrifice that was made, knowing, guys, that by our faith, that receiving that truth, we would be changed forever. And the thing I love about the Passover, the thing I love about the Last Supper, the thing I love about communion is it always brings me back to the faithfulness of God. It always brings me back. You may be in a situation right now where your job is in jeopardy. Your finances are in jeopardy. Your future is in jeopardy. And guys, those things pale in comparison. They pale in comparison to the faithfulness of the Lord. They pale in comparison to the promise that we have in Jesus. that when a sacrifice needed to be made once and for all, that God so loved the world so much that he gave of his son to make sure that that sacrifice was made for you and for me. And when we pick up that bread and we pick up that cup this Friday, we got to remember that. And it's a time, even though there may be tears in our eyes and we're drawn to the Lord with emotion, that at the basis of those tears and at the basis of that emotion is celebration, because it's the thankfulness and the gratitude that we have because of the love that God has extended toward me and toward you and toward all those he loves. I encourage you tonight, as you sit and contemplate these truths, as you sit and think about how faithful God has been to you, not just in your lifetime, but from the very first Passover lamb. How he has wooed you, how he has wanted to save you, how you have been the apple of his eye, and that you have received his protection and his direction and his love and his grace and his mercy and his wisdom. And all those things were given, and they were sealed upon you through the death of Jesus Christ. And he asks you to come back to that place, come back to that table where the bread and the cup can be shared again, and he will bless you again. Church, I pray that God will bless you tonight, that he will give you wisdom into this study and even subsequent studies. I pray that he would bless you. I pray that he would take from you the burden of this current situation, and that he would bring joy into your heart. Father, I ask that you would bless these people in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've never made a decision before to follow Jesus, I would invite you to do that now. This Jesus that I have talked about for the last half hour, there is a place in your heart that only he can fill. And it's up to you in your life to make this decision as to whether you're going to allow him to fill that or not. Some of you listening to my voice right now may be frustrated because you've tried everything on earth to fill that void, and only Jesus can fill that void. He is that piece of the puzzle that is perfectly cut out to fit into that part. And when that piece is put into your heart, it will change your heart forever. If you've never prayed that prayer, you can do so. All you need to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died on a cross for you to save you from your sin, and invite him into your life. He'll change it forever, I promise you. If you're on the website listening to this, there's a phone number there. You can call and let us know about the decision that you made. That would be great. We will see all of you again on Friday. And again, make sure you bring your communion elements so that we can all partake together. God bless you.